Live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. Happy Thursday to you. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Jaguars Today live at Everbank Field, as we are every day. Tony, 26 days. I mean, for you and I do truly love this time, but the march to the free agency window and the NFL draft can be a long one and wearing on you, you know, this time of year. It is a challenge. We're in uncharted territory with the program because, you know, we haven't completed a full year. We don't know what the cycle's going to be like.
No, we don't know exactly what it's going to be like. And I was thinking about that this morning, actually. I was like, you know, tomorrow's the day before Valentine's Day, and a year ago we were doing a top five of our favorite celebrity crushes.
Yes.
You know,
I mean, ready to go back.
Right. And here we are. It's not like we weren't doing an hour of NFL every day anyway. I mean,
correct.
We've been doing that for a long, long time. But trying to figure out exactly what it's going to look like in February leading up to free agency here on Jaguars Today, we're working through it like everyone out there listening is too.
I think you have a splendid idea, though, because tomorrow's Friday the 13th. Saturday's Valentine's
Day. Yes, it is.
We could do...
There's a combination
there. We could do scariest celebrities there right now. Who are the ones you would not want to see sitting in your back seat in your rearview mirror as you adjusted it in a empty parking garage
late at night?
Something like that. I think we should reinstitute for a little bit of time in the off-season, some downtime, Friday Top 5, condensed version. You know, we used to spread the Friday Top 5 out. It was kind of the Friday show. It was like the theme of the show. And we'd go sports, we'd go pop culture, we'd do whatever. Maybe we will do a condensed 10-minute version of the Friday Top 5 tomorrow. Let me dwell on that.
It would be fun if we could do the scariest celebrity. That's kind of fun.
That's not bad, right?
Yeah.
I mean, because it is, you know, because look, I'll tell you right now, Scarlett Johansson is not moving out of the number one seed for me right now. I don't know when it's going to happen. Maybe it'll happen at some point. But I found myself yesterday, you know, the little links at the bottom of all the stories, you know, like, you know, the crazy ones like, personal trainers hate this guy, right? You see the guy with the six pack abs, and then you're supposed to click there and they're supposed to tell you the secret to having six pack abs without working very hard.
Right.
For instance, and you get all the different like, ooh, behind the scenes of blank, and they tease you. And one of them said something simply along the lines of further proof that Scarlett Johansson is the most beautiful woman in the world or something like that.
That get your click?
I clicked that one, Tommy. I did, and it was some video from her Vanity Fair photo shoot from last year. And I don't know. She's the most beautiful woman in the world, but she still ranks number one on my celebrity crush list.
She'll be on screens again here in 3 months.
Oh, my goodness. Are you happy with the Sony Marvel Comics deal now that Spider-Man gets to join the Marvel Comics universe?
Over the moon.
Are you?
Like, even more excited than I was when Marvel made their announcement about their upcoming cinematic universe.
It's interesting. I actually liked it. It's Andrew Garfield is the kid who was in the most recent one, right? I thought he was very good.
I don't mind Andrew Garfield. I don't like what Sony's doing with Spider-Man. And I didn't like the plan that they had with that character, and he's my favorite in comic book history.
But what is the plan? I mean, all they do is do the origin story every 5 years.
Oh, I know, which is, I got a little bit tired of that, but they were trying to rush into a Sinister Six, and it was all going too fast, and they had screwed up Venom once already, and all the symbiotes, and look, we're going way down a nerd little hole here, but that's okay. I am so excited that Marvel Studios is back in at least some charge of what's going to happen.
Well, Sony has final say, which nobody
knows. But they basically are relenting that, we have no idea what we're doing with this. Please come and help us.
Right, and the funny thing, I mean, they're making money on their movies. They're just not making as much money as they want to make, I guess. And everyone says those. I thought the last two Spider-Man movies were pretty good.
I enjoyed them.
I liked them.
Yeah.
Especially, I thought the last one was very good. But
I thought Electro was a little ridiculous.
Yeah, he was a little ridiculous, but I just like I liked the look of Spider-Man and the way they had
a move. Of Electro.
Yeah,
was a little odd.
Jamie Foxx was a little odd, period, in that whole movie. But
no, I was thrilled. Honestly, and like I said, even more excited than when they announced everything that was going to be coming up.
Well, all that's getting pushed back now. That's
they're rearranging everything, but Spider-Man's going to show up in Civil War next year.
May 1st.
Yeah.
May 1st, Avengers 2. That's what you need.
Woo!
Age of Ultron. And then you got the two-parter. Avengers 3 is a two-parter, so basically four movies Right, that they got to stretch that thing out. So that's not for several more years coming down the line. Gives me a reason to hang on, Tony. You know, I got to see my kid get through school and see the conclusion of the next phase of Marvel movies.
And it's funny because I'm not a big, like, sequel guy. Like, I'm not big on, hey, let's get another sequel to this or this. I like kind of the standalone movies a lot of times. But this Marvel stuff doesn't feel like a bunch of sequels to me. It feels like one giant story is being told, and it's a bunch of stuff that I read when I was 8 years old, and now it's on the screen, and it's just incredible what Marvel is doing with their characters, especially a bunch of characters that nobody thought were going to work on the big screen because Sony had Spider-Man, and Fox had the X-Men and Fantastic Four, and was kind of lost in what they were doing with all those. You'll get a new Fantastic Four movie coming soon.
Kate Mara, top fiver, right, as well.
It's incredible that they said, let's do Iron Man, and it's turned into, let's do Iron Man 2. We're getting the Avengers 2 in May. I mean, it really is incredible the road they've been on.
I'm quite pleased. May 1st, I am locked and loaded, ready to go down that road. Today, the road we're going to go down, I just came upon an idea, Tony. We've got a dual threat going on today. Today,
is it Percy Harvin?
It is not. That's a good question, though. Percy, we can get into that. Would you go down the Percy Harvin road? If you're the Jaguars, if he gets released, that is a good question, because is it March 19th, I think, is the day?
March 19th.
If he's on the Jets roster as of March 19th or after March 19th, they owe the Seahawks a fourth-round pick.
Yep.
And he's got 4 years, about $40 million left on his contract. All the guaranteed money is gone. Seattle ate all of that. But if they release him before that date, they only owe Seattle a sixth-round pick on the rental basis. And I told you yesterday, if you're the Jets, do you not maybe go see if Jeremy Maclin takes 4 years, $40 million? He might not. I don't know. You know, he probably, you could argue he deserves more than that in a league where, like, Greg Jennings is making like $9 million a year. But, I don't think they give up the fourth round pick. I think they work something out where either they release him and re-sign him or just release him and try to spend that money somewhere else in free agency. But, today, the Tom Bush Family Dealerships Fan Feedback Spotlight. What I asked Dan a moment ago, would the Jaguars be better off, in your opinion, if the first two picks in the draft go quarterback, Winston, Mariota, whatever order? They're the top, the only two quarterbacks that are under consideration that high. Would they be better than having the choice of any position player in the draft, Leonard Williams, if he's your guy, Randy Gregor, whoever it is, or would they be better off having their top choice maybe go, have it go Winston, Leonard Williams, but having maybe a trade market there for Mariota, but not being able to necessarily get the guy that they like the best in the entire draft. And that's part of the process. Assume whoever it is that they like the best would be the other pick, along with one of the quarterbacks who clearly it looks like Tampa Bay is going to go with after releasing Luke McCown. We'll talk about that going on today. But the other thing, you want to suggest a topic for the Friday Top 5. I kind of like scariest celebrities for Friday the 13th. But if you have another one out there, we've got a $50, what do we have? A $50 gift basket from Peterbrook Chocolate worth a half a hundred is what it's worth. And, we're giving that away just in time for Valentine's Day. So, maybe you want to sit around and eat $50 worth of chocolate. That's your prerogative. Maybe you want to give it to your significant other. You can tweet us at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony. Email me at MikeD@1010XL.com. You can always post thoughts on the Jaguars Today Facebook page as well, or pick up the phone and call 641-1010. Do we reinstitute the Friday Top 5? I think we've decided to in the last 10 minutes.
I think we have.
Absolutely.
And, now we got to figure out which direction we're going to go with it. All right, we'll take a timeout. We'll come back. You'll hear some of the thoughts. Mike Mayock, as Dan Hicken mentioned, joined the guys a couple hours ago on the drill. And we'll get into some of his thoughts and some of the top prospects in the draft and a lot more, including your phone calls throughout the next 2 hours. It's Jaguars Today, live from Everbank on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, Jaguars Today, continuing. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony. We'll hear from Mike Mayock coming up shortly. He joined the boys, Dan and Jeff, this morning on the drill here on 1010XL, talking about this upcoming rookie class and looking back a little bit on why last year's rookie class seemed to have a lot of early success. We'll get into all that. Wide receivers, a lot of people want to know about Amari Cooper, defensive linemen, all that good stuff going on near the top of the draft. It's Thursday the 12th, right? And my wedding anniversary is on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that'll be 17 years of marital bliss, says my wife, because, I mean, come on. You'd find it hard to believe it'd be anything but if you were sharing an abode with me for the last nearly two decades, Tony. She, fortunately, has shared an abode with me. Yeah, we lived in sin for a while. We have our 25th anniversary coming up in April of when we first started dating. That's right. Do the math. It took about 8 years for me to get around to it. But nevertheless, you know how I feel like about the whole Hallmark thing, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not a big card person. You know, I can write on a piece of paper what I want to say to you and save the $4.95 for the fancy card stock. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. But, you know, some people get into that.
Sure.
That's fine. Whatever. So we've always been, and I know people say, well, come on, I know she says that, but she really wants something. You don't know my wife. We have always been like, we don't do a big deal for our anniversary. You know, we love each other. I'm not trying to be all sappy here, but you know, I don't need one special day of the year to tell my wife I love her if I want to do something nice for her. But so we don't always exchange gifts for our anniversary. In fact, we rarely do. We'll do, you know, things throughout the year for each other. And so this year, though, I decided to get her some flowers, but I made them Friday the 13th flowers. Although I had them delivered today because they're really tomorrow's going to be a crazy day in terms of the flower delivery.
Oh, I'm sure.
So that was my escape clause this year. I said, "Happy Friday the 13th, one day early. Hope you enjoy these lovely holiday flowers." Valentine's Day, not anniversary. They're Friday the 13th flowers. Coming your way. Already getting plenty of suggestions for what the Friday Top 5 could consist of. So think of a good one for tomorrow. Friday the 13th, Valentine's Day nearing. You can make it, you know, Jaguar related, NFL related. Doesn't matter. It can be anything. And whatever one we like, if we opt to go with it, we'll give you a $50 gift basket to Peterbrook Chocolates. And won't that be nice for you and your significant other? Or just you. Just sit back and eat. $50 worth of chocolates. The Bucks cut loose Josh McCown yesterday.
Yeah.
Interesting, because he played, you know, Lovey knew him from Chicago, although he had his most success under Mark Trestman, and couldn't stay healthy last year. And really, Tony, it was just, I mean, awful. Not even average. He was awful up until 2 years ago, right? Really, as a fill-in, when he was forced into playing time in the past, just could not get the job done. Played very well under Trestman. Went to Chicago, ostensibly to start, battle it out with Mike Glennon. They went with McCown for a little while. He ended up getting hurt. They haven't seemed to, you know, shown any indication that they're going to commit to Mike Glennon, but now everyone's going to read this as a lock, stock, slam dunk that they are taking a quarterback with the first overall pick. They save $5.2 million in salary, and I think they save all of that against the cap as well, which is good. If you're going to draft a quarterback, and I don't know what they're going to do with Mike Glennon. He's very affordable, though, because he was like a third-round pick, I want to say.
Yes, he was, right? 2 years ago.
Yeah, so he's got a big arm. Honestly, in the market for quarterbacks right now in free agency, Josh McCown becomes an automatic free agent. He can sign with anybody today if he wants to. Is there a better quarterback than Josh McCown available in free agency this year? Hoyer? Is Hoyer better? Maybe?
Maybe.
Well, he's injury prone as well. Or has
Sanchez
been.
Has had more success than McCown.
Sanchez has had more team success.
Right.
But generally it's been the feeling that, you know, when the Jets were getting to the championship game, they had the number one defense and the number one running game in football. So he did play well in a lot of those postseason games, but never the feeling that Mark Sanchez put you on his back and took you where you wanted to go. And, you know, same with down the stretch last year. He put up some good numbers, seemed to be, was it a product of the system with Chip Kelly? A lot of people think he was. Interesting scenario up in Buffalo.
Still just 4-4, though. For Sanchez last year.
Right.
Yeah.
He wasn't great, and he may be the best of the lot. So McCown's right in that mix anyway. There could be a market for Mike Glennon. You know, he's got 2 years under his belt. So he's still very affordable on his rookie deal. He's got a big arm. He's had his moments in the National Football League. And so maybe the Bucks try to do that, but it seems almost dead certain at this point in time. And to me, I think it's 90 out of 100 that they're going Jameis Winston over Marcus Mariota. And unless something comes up in the process that they don't like, if his interview goes poorly with the Buccaneers front office, with the brass, with Lovie Smith, something along those lines, or if he does something else off the field that makes you question again whether or not he's going to have the kind of judgment you want in your face of the franchise, I just think if you read all the tea leaves, for everyone who thinks Marcus Mariota is a better NFL prospect than Jameis Winston, there are about 10 guys out there saying the opposite.
No, there are, and it certainly feels like the direction it's going right now. We all thought Tampa Bay was taking a quarterback anyway, and the news of the last 24 hours only stamps that to be a little bit more certain with them letting go potentially their starting quarterback. I, for one, didn't understand exactly what they were doing last offseason. When you drafted a guy like Mike Glennon in the third round, he looked okay as a rookie. You have a new coach coming in, so he's not committed to anything on that roster, so why not take another year to just look at Mike Glennon and see what he is or what he isn't, and then make a decision on that going forward. Instead, they decided to bring in Josh McCown. That has turned into a one-year thing because Josh McCown was terrible. They didn't get a whole lot out of Mike Glennon, but you don't find out a whole lot about Mike Glennon either in that period of time because you started Josh McCown for 11 of the 16 games last year. Now you're in the position of having the number one overall pick. You're a team that needs a quarterback. There's two quarterbacks in this draft. That makes the math on that score very, very easy. The question is, with a guy like Josh McCown, as you said, he potentially is the best free agent quarterback available, and he can sign today. You know, he can go anywhere today. So if you're one of these teams that's kind of caught in limbo, where maybe you are the Jets that are drafting at 6 and you don't know for sure that you're going to have a quarterback available. Maybe you're Cleveland and you don't know for sure what you're going to be doing at the quarterback position. Heck, Houston, who are they going to rely on Tom Savage? Is that what they're going to be looking at? Ryan Fitzpatrick? What do they want to do? They don't know what they're going to do with Ryan Mallett yet. So a team like that that's trying to figure out what they want to do with that position could potentially bring in a guy like that. Maybe even a place like Tennessee makes a lot of sense to me because maybe they like Mettenberger, but you bring in McCown, who, if nothing else, gives you a veteran presence that you feel like you can rely on if Mettenberger isn't the guy in the short term.
Yeah, I thought, until you said Tennessee, I was thinking the same thing, but I think Houston makes a ton of sense because they're not in position to get an impact young quarterback to come in.
No.
And we don't know how they feel about Tom Savage. They see him every day. There's been no indication, no scuttlebutt, no whispers, wow, this guy has really been showing us something behind the scenes kind of thing. I don't think anybody has a sense that Tom Savage is all of a sudden going to show up and open up a bunch of eyes, which is typical of a fourth round quarterback. Right. You don't typically have that. So, yes, you go into Houston, you go right to the top of the depth chart, or at least you create a competition with Ryan Mallett if they re-sign Ryan Mallett. Because I believe Ryan Mallett was playing out the last year of his deal.
I think
last
he was.
Year, his rookie contract. And I think you're right. If you're Tennessee and you're sitting there thinking, you know, I guess you want to keep open the option that maybe you fall in love with Mariota. We don't know how they feel about Zach Mettenberger, but I'm with you. I think McCown's going to look for an opportunity where he can compete for a starting job. And I think Tennessee would say, all right, we'll let you compete for the starting job, but I think they would obviously want Mettenberger to beat him out if they were to bring him in that scenario. But it would seem, if they made a move like that, it would seem to signal pretty clearly that they wouldn't be going quarterback, I would think, at that point, right? Because why have Mettenberger, who's not going anywhere, and showed enough that I think they'd be certainly comfortable with him as their number two at worst.
Yeah.
Why go get McCown if you really are considering drafting Marcus Mariota with the second pick of the draft, or Winston, whatever the case may be, and I think it'll be your choice. It'll be Mariota or one of these other guys. I'd like to see him take, look, I don't know which I'd prefer, honestly, because you don't know what the trade package is going to be. But the question of the day that we ask you to weigh in on the Tom Bush Family Dealerships presents the Fan Feedback Spotlight. Would it be better for the Jags to have the quarterbacks go 1-2, Winston, Mariota, Mariota, Winston, and have the Jags have any pick of any position player out there? Or would it be better to create a potential trade market by having one of those QBs sitting there when clearly everyone seems to feel the drop-off between quarterback number two and quarterback number three is a humongous gulf? Some people have already tweeted and said they don't think Mariota is going to be enough to drum up trade interest. That may be the case. But right now, we talked about this yesterday, Kevin O'Donnell Kevin O'Connell. Kevin O'Connell, former Jets quarterback, former, just kicked around primarily as a backup, in New England.
Yep.
Different places, is tutoring Mariota right now, getting him ready for the draft, and in short order is expected to be hired as the Browns quarterbacks coach. And a lot of teams apparently think that, you know, that's kind of an unfair loophole that they're exploiting. That may be the case, but they're getting as good a look as at Mariota as anybody will in this process, and they have two first round draft picks. So you've got a team like that, maybe. Are they willing to do that and make that move a year after drafting Johnny Manziel in the first round? I doubt that they will be willing to do that. I think you almost have to give a first round pick the second year to, you know, prove you wrong. Or at least, you know, based on his performance in year one. And the other team, that people have talked about because of Chip Kelly's familiarity, coaching him at Oregon, is Philadelphia. But can they put together a package enticing enough to move up from that far back in the first round to interest any team that's in the top five? I think that's a big question.
And I'm not sure that they're going to be able to get to the top five. If Philadelphia is going to become a player, I think it's because Mariota slips down into the teens. And then they might be able to get a deal done with somebody to get up to that point. I don't know. The package of picks you'd have to give up to move into the top five, even if you really believed in that guy, it's so much. I mean, you're talking about a couple years worth of drafts, at least, that you're giving away to go get one guy.
You would think so. I just got this, getting suggestions in for a potential Friday top five. For tomorrow, top five Jaguars or NFL bromances ever, not just currently. I don't know, Tony. I'm pretty secure in who I am, but I don't know if I've ever characterized too many of them. Maybe, I don't know. Do I have a bromance with David Garrard? I might. You know, I might not even realize it. Because
I have actors that I have bromances for.
I do.
Like Tom Hardy right now, I'll go see anything he does. I freaking love that guy. And Sylvester Stallone was like that for a very long time. It still is. I go see everything Sly's in. I love Sly Stallone. But I have actors that I have bromances with. I'm not sure I've ever had that kind of thing with an athlete, though.
I guess you'd have to define what that is, you know.
I
have guys on my fantasy teams that I fall in great like with throughout the course of a particular season. I've had, you know, Reggie Jackson was a demigod to me when I was a kid, you know, mm-hmm. and because you see things through a different set of eyes when you're a child, you know, but I don't feel that way about any current players in any sport. I don't know. I mean, I guess I've spent a lot of time with Garrard and MJD. With that, I don't know if that qualifies. I have to ask them. I think if they'd be comfortable with me describing that relationship as a bromance. I don't feel that it is, but I'm thinking that's probably not going to win the Peterbrook Chocolates. But good effort. Keep them coming. At MD_1010XL, at 1010XL, Fat Tony. We'll come back. We'll hear from Mike Mayock. He joined the boys on the drill this morning. Get some of the thoughts from the NFL Network and NFL.com analyst on some of the top potential picks in this upcoming NFL draft. It's Jaguars Today. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you live at EverBank on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
I'm Paul Posluszny, and you're listening to the best Jaguars coverage in Jacksonville on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
You know, speaking of Paul Posluszny, as Paul was just saying, hey, it's me.
What up?
Here I am. He was on Jaguars.com Live yesterday, and I was reading a recap of his appearance. Didn't get to catch it. I was busy listening to XL Primetime. That's my jam in the afternoons. Anyhow, Paul said he's completely healed up. He's good to go. He's back to normal and doing his thing. And, you know, they love him so much, Tony. The coaching staff loves him so much. You'd love him with about another tenth off that 40 time. You'd love him that much more. But for what he brings to this football team, I think they're looking forward to having him back in the middle next year. And, yeah, you know, you add some speed on the outside, and that opens things up. If you were to trade back, if you were to get that partner, honestly, we sit here every year. We think, oh, trade back. Accumulate picks. Have 50 picks to be the Patriots. Do, you know, and it never happens. Rarely does it happen. So I'm not anticipating it happens this time around. But if it did, and you could get like a Shaq Thompson out of Washington, you know, or I don't know, just some impact linebacker that would be an instant plug-and-play starter and another starter-level player if you were able to get two first-round picks or who knows. I mean, you don't know how teams are going to feel about Marcus Mariota. I will say this, as a Jag fan out there, root for him to rip it up in everything he does this offseason, right? Private workouts, whatever, any kind of...
He
can only help you. Like, I mean, either it's going to end up giving you one of two things, your choice of any position player in the draft, not being quarterback, or the potential to have a market for the number three pick in the draft. And you might say, you know what, the Tennessee will get the market. That's fine. If they get the market and they get the trade for Mariota.
Still a quarterback coming off the board, and you get your pick of any
position. Still means you get Leonard
player.
Williams or whoever you deem to be right. The best player out there. Mike Mayock talking with the boys on the drill this morning here on 1010XL. 92.5 FM answered why he felt this year's rookie class had so much success.
It's a good question. I think there are three reasons. And number one, let's face it, it's a pass-first world, even in Pee Wee in high school. Everybody's right. Throwing the football, and these kids are used to catching a bunch of passes every year, 60, 70, 80, 90 balls a year. Secondly, the advent of the back shoulder throw in the NFL has changed the game, I think, for the big bodied wide receiver so that a Kelvin Benjamin and a Mike Evans can come in last year, not run many routes, but be really effective outside the numbers and in the red zone because of the big body type of throws. And finally, for the smaller route runners, I think the emphasis on the 5-yard rule really helps them. They know that once they can get past that 5-yard that now they can run routes with impunity. And I think when you add all those three things up, you know, it's a big green light for the wide receiver position in the NFL.
Continuing along the lines of questioning about the wide receiver position, so much success for that group last year, shifting the focus to this year's wide receiver class. Jeff Prosser asked them about specifically Cooper, Parker, and White in the first round.
I've probably talked to 6 or 8 general managers in the last 2 days, and pretty much those three receivers you mentioned are the three main guys. I think the only difference is what preference or what flavor do you like the best. To me, Amari Cooper is special. I mean, just because I have him too doesn't mean I don't think he's a special wide receiver. And I think he reminds me a little bit of a Torrey Holt, who's a precise route runner, really good with the ball after the catch, was a game changer this year for Alabama. I really like this kid, and I think his floor is higher than Kevin White, but I think Kevin White's ceiling is higher. In other words, Kevin White is a big-bodied wide receiver that has rare movement skills, strong hands. I don't know what he's going to run, and that's going to be interesting at the combine. If he runs 4.58 or something, then, you know, all bets are off. We're all going to run back to the tape and say, does he play faster than he times? But I just think his upside's a little bit more, and Devontae Parker is close to that also.
You know, who's the kid from Ohio State? Devin, what's his name?
Thomas?
No. I just had it a minute ago. I was looking at his numbers. He averaged 26 yards a catch this year, Tony. Devin Smith, thank you. Smith's such a hard
Smith,
one to remember.
Forgettable.
Unbelievable. Averaged 26 yards a catch. Now, only caught 30 passes this year. You know, so you got to wonder, is he a one-trick pony? But that's a pretty good trick.
That's a good trick.
He got 30 balls for nearly 800 yards on 30 catches. Pretty ridiculous. Mayock talking about, particularly in reference to Amari Cooper, Jeff was setting him up for this question because he always seems to be a guy that you don't know, is he running faster than everybody? Is he such a precise route runner? What is it that allows him to seemingly run wide open all the time? And how important is wide receivers creating separation on tape for these general managers and decision makers?
You know, I had a guy that has been in the NFL for years who I respect as much as anybody I've ever met as far as football is concerned. And he told me once that I'm overanalyzing stuff with wide receivers. And you get so caught up. Can he get in and out of breaks? Can he do this? Can he do that? And he was kind of like, look, there's only two things that it boils down to. One is creating separation. And you can do that a lot of different ways. You can create separation with size. You can do it with quickness. You can do it with outright speed. but you have to have the ability to separate. And then number two, you've got to have great hands. You can't be double catching the football in the NFL. There are too many tight windows. And so I go back to your point, which I think is a good one. Amari Cooper created space for himself and for his quarterback. And it's going to be interesting to see how effective he is year one doing that next year.
All right, let's get to it. The Jags with the third overall pick. A lot of defensive linemen's names have been brought up with that potential spot. We saw Shane Ray earlier this week in a mock draft by Mel Kiper. Mike Mayock was asked earlier today on the drill about where the Jags should be looking with that third pick in the group of defensive linemen they're looking at right now.
I think David Caldwell and Gus Bradley are going to be grinding on a lot of those names. Leonard Williams' conversation is interesting because he reminds me more of, say, a Richard Seymour, who New England took years ago at number six. And that's, I think, prototypically, he's a five technique, more of a 3-4 defensive end. However, you know, in Jacksonville, you've got that elephant system that Gus Bradley has, Red Bryan has played, and he would fit that to a T. However, I think they need a twitchy edge guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Chris Clemens is going to be 34, I believe. And I look at this edge group, and I really like this edge group. And Mike, as you mentioned, I'm a little bit in the minority on who I like the most, but I like Nante Fowler because I think he's got an explosive first step. He's 15, 18 pounds heavier than Shane Ray and Gregory,
mm-hmm.
Which means he can set the edge in the run game, I think, a little bit better. And he's athletic enough to drop if you want. But any of those guys you mentioned, I think, are candidates. Whether it's, all I know about Gus is that you better love the game of football, and you better play like your hair is on fire.
Right.
And those are the kind of, that's who he's looking for on defense.
Yeah, we talked about Shane Ray a little bit yesterday, you know, just the size and what is he going to measure at. Yeah, and that's a big part of it, too. We see where guys are listed right now. We'll find out next week. That's one thing you're going to get is an accurate measurement
yep.
on these guys. And you say, well, does it really make that big of a difference? Well, you know, you can get way too caught up in numbers. There's no question about it. Charles Barkley thinks anyone who uses math gets way too caught up in numbers, apparently. But beyond that, you know, there are some reasons that there are tried and true measurements that seem to fit for certain positions, Tony, because as a rule, they hold up over time.
Yep.
And they become the format that you look for. You say, you know, if he fits X criteria, Y criteria, Z criteria, he's got a pretty good chance just based on that to be a productive player if he's got a track record of being productive in college. Doesn't always work. There are exceptions, but you know, you get those shorter guys and they come typically with shorter arms. You know, that's when you hear, like, if a guy is 6'4", but he's got the wingspan of a 7-footer. That means he can reach and engage, if he's a defensive end, that offensive lineman before that lineman necessarily can get his hands on you. Just think about, like, a boxer with a better reach. So there are reasons they look at this stuff. I have no idea at this point in time who the Jags like, but the twitchy edge guy seem to be a lot more of them than there are the 300-pounder with quick feet that can do everything that Leonard Williams has described as being able to do.
Yep.
And that, to me, is why he seems to be the top guy on the board if you're deciding between all these guys. Dan Hicken went on to ask him more about Dante Fowler and said, you know, you got to look beyond the numbers. Obviously, Dan's watching every snap that Dante Fowler plays and, you know, just talked about his impact moving into the draft and what Mayock liked so much about him.
I had no expectations at all when I put his tape on. I didn't know much about him. And he blew me away. And I think one of the things I have to dig deeper on is how come his production wasn't more earlier in his career. One of the conversations I've had with some scouts and coaches and all is that he had to redefine his body a little bit. He lost 10 or 12 pounds. I think he was playing up in the 270s early in his career. He was down about 260, 261. I've heard he's going to be about 255 at the combine, and I think that's smart. But again, I like him at 255 or 260 as opposed to the Vic Beasleys of the world that are going to struggle to get much above 230 and I think get overwhelmed by some of those bigger offensive backs.
Yeah, Vic Beasley's not the biggest guy. Make, you know, clearly a very good player. I've seen him creeping into a lot more top 10, top 12 type projections, but you wonder at his size, smaller than all these guys really, is he really best suited to play outside linebacker in a 3-4 and rush the passer as one of those type guys? And, you know, I think a big thing will you know, most of these guys have to answer to is their ability to play in space, to drop in coverage, particularly if you're going to bring him in as an outside linebacker in a 3-4 defense. You know, can they do everything? We know that they could beat a lot of college guys going forward towards the passer because they put up those kind of numbers, but all that will come out in the wash in the evaluation process. We'll take a timeout. We'll hear more from Mike Mayock coming up, but coming up next, we've got this state in football history, the Honda driver in the NFL, and where do the Jaguars rank in terms of the easiest or toughest schedules in the National Football League for 2015, at least according to the numbers. We'll get into all that coming up. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Jaguars Today, 1010 XL, 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you all week long by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville. Before we get into all the wonderful things that happened on this date, this is a public service announcement specifically intended for one person, Lauren Brooks. They're teeing off at Pebble Beach. Submit your golfer for your fantasy golf league. Okay, she forgot to do it last week, Tony. Tell you, you get out of our clutches and you just, the whole thing falls apart for you.
Sure.
Brooks, I mean, you think she's up there managing Augusta National, that
it would be on her mind.
Golf would be on her mind all the time, but apparently that's not the case. So don't forget to pick your golfer. I went with Vanderbilt's finest, Brant Snedeker.
Get him, Sneds.
He better do something, or I'm going to be very angry with you personally. That's how
sorry.
I roll. I know. Tony, in 1876,
whoa,
Al Spaulding opened his first sporting goods shop. You may have heard his last name a time or two over the years. Spaulding Sporting Goods, 1937. On February 12th, Cleveland got the Rams. They were granted an NFL franchise. They would obviously later move to Los Angeles and then back to the Midwest, to St. Louis, and perhaps again to Los Angeles before it's all said and done. 1997, Fred Goldman said he would rip up the $20.5 million judgment that he won in a civil suit for the wrongful death of his son Ron at the hands of O.J. Simpson. Is Simpson would sign a murder confession. He would absolve him of all that debt. Obviously, O.J. did not take him up on that offer.
No.
And still managed to find plenty of tax shelters here in the state of Florida because he was playing golf right up until the time that he got escorted off to the pokey for trying to reclaim his memorabilia in the strong-arm fashion. Also, the Dallas Cowboys signed Chan Gailey in 1998. At that time, Tony, only the fourth head coach in Dallas Cowboy history.
Wow.
The Cowboy, well, the Steelers are even more ridiculous, right? You got Noel, you got Cowher, you got Tomlin. Is that it? That's it, right?
Maybe.
I don't think I'm forgetting anybody with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Happy birthday, Seth Payne. Jaguar great. Seth Payne's a frequent guest of the Boys of XL Primetime, by the way. Does some radio up in Tennessee. He was born on this date in 1975. You go back a little ways. Brent Jones, the former 49er tight end, born on this date in 1963. Lincoln Kennedy, in 1971, was born on February 12th. That is this date in football history brought to you by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville. If you would like a professional free estimate, if you need a fence for your home or business, call 268-1638 or visit bestfencejacks.net for more information. That's this date in football history.
Now, the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
That may be all the Steelers coaches since they joined the NFL.
Maybe that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's probably it.
I think Noel, I'm looking at the list now, Noel took over in 69, so maybe Bill Austin, they were in the NFL technically at that time. He coached him from 66 to 68. I'm not sure exactly, but...
But for a long... 69, that's 31, that's 46
right.
years, something like that.
Chuck Noll from 69 to 91, Bill Cowher 92 to 2006, and Mike Tomlin 2007. They've had three coaches since 1969.
Good job security there.
That's pretty crazy. And speaking of the Steelers, their running back, Le'Veon Bell, was arrested last August for driving under the influence. He will spend 15 months on probation as well as have his license suspended for 60 days. You might or might not remember the incident where Bell was pulled over on his way to the team flight along with then-teammate LeGarrette Blount.
Oh, I remember.
Bell told the police he didn't know he wasn't allowed to smoke weed and then drive a car. Bell could be suspended for up to 2 games by the league for the incident, and the Steelers say they will be prepared if that does happen. They certainly weren't prepared to be without Bell during the team's wildcard weekend game against the Ravens this year after he suffered that knee injury in Week 17. So we'll see if they fare any better next year if they do lose him for two games.
We've gotten to know Le'Veon over the last couple of years as he's good friends with Maurice Jones-Drew. We see him out at the Super Bowl. We've had him on the shows we do on Sirius over that time. It doesn't seem like he has much knucklehead factor in him, but you got to be a little bit of a knucklehead to think, well, I wasn't smoking as I was driving.
Right.
And I thought that would be okay.
I smoked at home. And then I started driving.
This is not allowable. This is not acceptable. Who knew? You know, not to make light of it, because that is one thing. Look, if they legalize marijuana in all 50 states, and eventually they will, I'm not gonna lose a wink of sleep over it. But you got to treat it just like you do alcohol.
Yep.
You shouldn't drink and drive.
Nope.
And you shouldn't smoke and drive or consume any kind of thing like that. You shouldn't abuse prescription medication and drive. You can, a lot of things you shouldn't do when you get behind the wheel of a car. And as long as you do that, you go about your business.
By the way,
Justified, which is in its final season, damn shame. Can FX continue to pump out these kind of programs that wrap me in for 5 or 6 years? I bet they can. They've got a pretty good track record, but the plot line revolves around a guy trying to buy up all this farmland in Kentucky because he's got the word that the legalization's coming down the line. And apparently the bluegrass state earns at least part of its nickname in mass quantities. So they tell me, at least according to the good folks on Justified. All right, we will get back to a couple comments from Mike Mayock coming up here in a minute. You mentioned the Steelers a moment ago. Obviously they've got what is, based on last year's results, the toughest schedule in the National Football League this year. Now that can change quickly. Dallas was supposed to have one of the toughest schedules last year, and they ended up they're supposed to have the 18th most difficult, so not necessarily among the toughest, but when it was all said and done, they had the easiest schedule in the NFL. Dallas's opponents in 2014 went a combined 114 and 142 for a 445 winning percentage. Not very good.
You're welcome, playing the South.
Exactly, right? I mean, that's part of it, right? Well, when you look at the playoff teams this year, Tony, 12 teams made the playoffs. And 8 of those teams got in the postseason by playing schedules whose teams collectively were under 500. The only ones who, of the four, only 4 of those teams had a schedule over 500. Dallas, Detroit, Houston, and Pittsburgh had the 4 weakest schedules in the league in 2014. Dallas, Detroit, Pittsburgh all make the postseason. Houston had a winning record. So it's more pertinent, certainly, when we know how they're going to play in 2015 than it is in 2014, but it's what we have to go on right now. So the Steelers' opponents upcoming in 2015 had a combined record of 147, 107, and 2 in 2014 for a winning percentage of 579. That's pretty damn high, okay? The Bengals, the 49ers, the Seahawks, and the Cardinals, and partly because they're all in that division and they are all pretty good. By the way, the Rams at number 6. So the entire NFC West ranks from 3rd through 6th.
Yeah, they're separated by 2 games.
Right, and that has the impact on which conference or which division they play in their own conference and out of conference, and obviously in their conference or in their division, they're not getting a break. Meanwhile, where are the Jaguars, you ask? Well, the Jags, which is, you would think, a good thing, they have the 25th most difficult schedule in the National Football League. Their opponents' records in 2014, a combined 118, 137, and 1 for a 463 winning percentage. The bad news is it's the most difficult schedule of anyone in the AFC South this year, and by a considerable margin. Again, the Jags opponents had a winning percentage of 463. Tennessee opponents had a winning percentage of 435, so that's a big drop. They're the next one in line. Then you've got Carolina, then you got the Saints, then you got the Bucks. Houston has the 30th easiest schedule, actually tied for 30th with Indianapolis. 106, 148 and 2, 106, 149 and 1 works out to a 417 winning percentage for their opponents. Atlanta has the easiest schedule in the league based on their opponent's performance in 2014 with barely over 400, 409 winning percentage for their opponents.
It's getting those darn Chargers again. I mean, they just keep finishing third in the AFC West, and
that's part of it.
The Jags keep finishing third in the South, and they wind up playing them instead of the Raiders every year.
Right, and so right, they, and if you're Indy, well, you take your schedule very similar to Jacksonville, and even though you play tougher teams in the rest of the divisions in the AFC, you're playing the Jags record twice, and the Jags are substituting
right.
it. With your record.
Right.
Twice.
I mean, when you look at the difference between finishing third and fourth in the AFC South this year, Tennessee, those two flex games, basically the two games they're playing that the Jaguars aren't playing, they get the Oakland Raiders at home and they go to Cleveland, as compared to the Jacksonville Jaguars who get the Chargers here at home and go to Baltimore. That's the difference between finishing third and fourth in the division just because of the way that the schedule worked out this year, which is a big,
huge
big
difference. Huge difference. And Cleveland was competitive this year, but they're not on Baltimore's level.
No.
And Oakland was nowhere near the Chargers' level. Now, maybe they'll take a step up this season, but, you know, that's just the way it goes. But, real, I don't typically get too tied up into the records of the schedules of division opponents, because it is only those two games, and you really don't know. I mean, for all we know, Flacco gets hurt, you know, in the first week of the season.
Sure.
And misses the whole year. So, but, and again, these things change so much that all this is a snapshot on what went down last year. Speaking of what went down last year, you know, we talked about all these free agent wide receivers the Jags might be interested in. Would you be interested in Brandon Marshall for the Jags if
yeah,
he were available?
Why not?
I would, right? I mean, I think he's still got plenty of games. He's idiosyncratic, you know, but there's, I don't know how likely it is, but he at least talked about where he recognizes the business aspect of the NFL, and he hasn't gotten any assurance from the Bears that he's part of their future plans. They got a new coaching staff. They got John Fox in there. He said he met with him. And, you know, John Fox is going to want to run the football. He's probably going to make Matt Forte happy, but I would think, you know, that Cutler would want to have Marshall, who he's had pretty much the entirety of his career.
Yeah.
Has had a ton of success with him. They do have Alshon Jeffrey and Marquise Wilson waiting in the wings as a potential number two. But, you know, that we talk about this list of guys who are free agent wide receivers who some of them won't make it to free agency. There may be a few of these other guys out there that do make it to free agency that you're not expecting. So we'll keep an eye on some stories like that. More from Mike Mayock coming up, but his thoughts on this upcoming draft class. He joined the guys on the drill this morning. We'll take your calls as well if you're so inclined at 641-1010. Also, if you want to give us a suggestion for the Friday Top 5, we're going to bring it back a little bit during the off season in a condensed version. And all that is a top 5 list of anything that's topical. Can be football related, can be pop culture related, can be anything. We've got a $50 gift basket to Peterbrook Chocolatiers, just in time for Valentine's Day, and we'll pick one of the submissions at the end of the show. You can tweet us at MD_1010XL. You can email me, MikeD@1010XL.com. You can tweet Tony, 1010XL, Fat Tony, and, you can also post on the Jaguars Today Facebook page, with your submission for the top five for Friday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Tyler Devitt here with you. We'll be back with more Jaguars Today live at Everbank Field in a moment on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Jaguars Today, 1010XL 92.5 FM. The return of the Friday Top 5 tomorrow in some
Woo!
Form or fashion. I know. So, you know, because really, let's get down to it, Tony. All seriousness here, because we play our cards on the table.
Mm-hmm.
2 hours of radio is a long day. And if we got a crutch that we can lean on, like the
sure.
Friday Top 5, brother, I'm all about it.
Sure.
So we'll do that tomorrow. It'll be fun. We'll have a good time with that coming up. I saw this note, by the way. Going to geek out on the baseball side for just a moment here.
Mm-hmm.
Donna Murphy sends out a sports history email every day. This time of year typically doesn't have much to do with football.
Right.
But on this day, I want to say it was 1876, a guy named Frederick Thayer invented or patented the baseball catcher's mask. 1878 was the date. Frederick W. Thayer.
Hmm.
And I'm guessing the only reason I know this is because I had to do the poem. I chose to do the poem, Casey at the Bat, in a speech class in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And, by the way, my first speech was supposed to be 2-minute introductory speech about yourself. And I went 7.5 minutes.
Did you really?
Think I'm in the right business?
You know, I did.
Keep talking, boy.
It's funny, and we'll get back to Casey and the catcher's basket.
Well, let me just tell you, Casey was written by Ernest Lawrence Thayer. Mm-hmm. And this guy is Frederick W. Thayer.
Oh.
And patting through the catcher's mask. They gotta be brothers, don't they?
Gotta be. Something.
That's all.
Something. Uncle,
I'm sure
father,
Google
son.
Would confirm that, but I'm not inclined to look right
no,
now.
No, I had a creative writing class in college, and it was actually a speech class, sorry. I had a speech class in college, and the first speech you were supposed to do was supposed to introduce yourself and mm-hmm. make people remember your name. So we were going in alphabetical order by last name. My last name is Smith. So
Heisenberg.
I'm sitting there waiting on all these people to go, and everybody's getting up there and like, Amy is for Apple, and all these different things, and I was like, oh no, what have I done? Because I know what I've written for my speech, and I'm like, I'm not doing anything close to that. And as they keep going, I'm like, oh my gosh. I was like, have I completely blown this? And you had to turn in the first like 50 words of your speech to the professor, and he would read it over, and then you could start your speech. Well, I had written it like I was a wrestler doing an intro video for myself.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Like, for years, they've searched for the next champion. Like, I was going through the whole thing, right? So I hand the professor my speech, and he looks down at it, and he chuckles. He looks back up at me, and he goes, go for it. And I did the whole thing. Everyone in that class knew me from that moment forward. Everyone knew that my name was going to be Tony because I only said it about 800 times during that speech.
T-Bone!
But everyone else was up there, my name is Mike, and that stands for mandolin or whatever. You know, and I'm like, am I doing
usually
this?
Usually what I go with.
Right. Am I doing this right, or have I done something completely off the track?
What did you get?
Here?
Was your grade? Did you get an A?
Oh, I got an A.
An A on the whole class or just that project?
I got an A in that class.
It's amazing.
Speech.
Speech.
It's not like I don't do that every day.
Has anyone ever asked you in this business for a resume?
No. When you start doing it when you're like 16 and you're just a little, you know, you walk into the building and they're like, yeah, we'll let you run the board on Saturday morning for the fishing stuff. And
right.
You just move on up from there. That's pretty much the road I took.
Right.
So there might have been a resume at that point.
I know.
Maybe.
I could have. I'm sure I gave somebody a resume at some point or another. I don't think it had any.
And it just said what high school I went to, you know?
Yeah.
And that I worked at a movie theater because that's
you
the only job I had
history.
Before that. Yeah.
You're kind of like Don Zimmer. You
yeah.
Know? Earn much outside the
this is what I've done
the business.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, but that just seems very me. 2 minutes about you. 2 minutes. It was basically like, why are you in this class kind of thing? Why are you taking this class?
Yeah.
7.5 minutes later, the teacher's like, very good, very comprehensive. Everyone's asleep now. Thank
Two
you
minutes.
Very much. I should have done it as a wrestler. Now I know. I know better for my next time around. Mike Mayock on with the boys on the drill. This morning, we've heard some of his thoughts on some of the defensive linemen, and one of the fellows, I believe it was Jeff Prosser, asked Mike Mayock of the NFL Network, NFL.com, is there an offensive player, in his opinion, that would be worth the Jaguars using the number 3 pick on, and if so, do tell.
I think there's a much bigger puzzle than that, and I think the most important thing is at number 3, getting one of the best 3 football players in the country, you know, and not
right.
reaching anywhere else. Get yourself a great football player. And I think the second corollary to that is have a plan in place that if you take an edge rusher at 3, can you get a wide receiver when you come back in the second round that's the difference maker? And then flip that equation. If you take a wide receiver at 3, can you get an edge guy in the second round? And which looks better on paper. And I think those are the kind of discussions I think they're having right now. And I think every team in the league goes through those conversations.
The exception of that's got to be quarterback, though, right? I mean, because when you say you got to get one of the top 3 players, what if you, independently of your needs, grade Winston and or Mariota to be both in the top 3.
And process. That was the conversation we were having with all the draft guys when we talked to them throughout that entire process for the last 2 years, really, here in Jacksonville, just about evaluating quarterback. And if you are a team that's picking 3rd, like the Jaguars have been for a while, it feels like now, and you go through your evaluation of all these players and you say, all right, the best quarterback in this draft is our seventh-rated prospect, is that enough to get you to pull the trigger at three because of the importance of that position?
Right.
And I think that you heard some guys say yes, you heard some guys say no, you heard a lot of, well, if you think a guy's going to be a top 16 quarterback in the league, top half of the league, then he's worth a top 10 pick. Wherever he happened to be in there, if he's going to be a guy that you project to be in the top half of quarterbacks in the league, then he's worth a top 10 pick. We heard those kind of things, and it's so nice to be coming into a draft where we don't have to worry about
right
what the quarterback position is going to look like. It just sets up the dominoes for whatever the Jags are going to do at number three. And Mike Mayock was also asked about the running back position. Obviously not something the Jags are going to be looking at number three, but could be looking at coming back to him in the second round. He has Melvin Gordon rated ahead of Todd Gurley. He was asked about why those two guys rated that way.
I love them both, and I think the deciding vote for me was just the uncertainty of the knee. And, you know, if they were both healthy, I don't even know where I would have gone. But the point is that I think it's rare to have a first-round running back these days, but mm-hmm. I think I would pound the table for both of those guys. The question with Gurley and his knee, you know, is after that ACL, even if he comes back and plays some or all of next year, will he be as effective? Because it looks to me like most guys coming off ACL are much better and much more like themselves in year two.
And I would agree with that. I mean, most people are not Adrian Peterson, right? And that's an unrealistic standard to hold anyone to in terms of rehab and immediate return and impactful return to the field. Are the Jags in the position, Tony, where they could take a player with the, what would it be, the fourth pick of round two? Is that what?
I think 36, yeah.
They have 36, so the fourth pick around two, right? Because they have the same record. Who's behind, right? Oakland, right? So Oakland will flip-flop with the Jags in every round in terms of where they pick. Are they in the position where they could take a player who may not really make a major impact for them in 2015 with that high of a pick? I don't know if they are. Now, I'm not saying they can't take Todd Gurley. They may, Dave Caldwell in the end may say Todd Gurley is one of the 10 best players in this draft. And we think, you know, his rehab's on track and by midseason he's going to be ready to roll or whatever. I don't know. I don't know if you can sit there though. Can this regime, we talk about patience and Shad Khan's shown a lot of it. Can you take a guy who maybe has to start the season on the physically unable to perform list? Now, New England can. Seattle can. Those are championship level teams. And that's a great thing to do. San Francisco has done it with some success, with mixed success on some guys, taking guys that they've had to wait on. Some of them work out. Some of them go the Marcus Lattimore route. Gurley's not in the Lattimore class in terms of how devastating his knee injury was.
Right.
And Lattimore had a couple of them. So I don't know if they are in that position where they can really draft. I mean, Aaron Colvin last year was with an eye towards this year and beyond.
That's the fourth round.
Exactly.
That's a guy that they probably had, you know, graded as a late first, early second round pick that they waited until the fourth round. Even if they had Todd Gurley projected as a top half of the first round guy, you're probably talking about a team like Jacksonville probably doesn't start considering that type of player until the third round right now. Look, I know you talked to Shad Khan when we were at the Super Bowl, and he said, no, there's not a number of wins that I'm looking for from Gus Bradley and Dave Caldwell next year, but it's got to be better than it has been for the last couple of years. There may not be a number that they have to hit, but there is some kind of improvement that has to show up on the field this year for that football team if everyone's going to keep their jobs for another year.
To show up in the win column.
Right, and can they afford to draft a guy who may be helping them in 2016 more so than in 2015 in the second round? Can they afford to draft that type of player when they need results right now? Not in 2016, right now for this football team. I don't think they're in that position.
Mayock's, the rest of his running back rankings, by the way, for the top five, he has Amir Abdullah out of Nebraska, number three, has Duke Johnson out of Miami, number four, and Tevin Coleman from Indiana, who I've talked to several people who are, you know, stealth-style draft Knicks, what sure. have you, that really like Tevin Coleman a lot. I'm a little surprised because it seems to be the consensus that Jay Ajayi is in, out of Boise State, is in that next level. Whether he's three or four, He makes most people's top four, but for right now he doesn't, as far as Mike Mayock goes. But, you know, it's one guy's opinion on all that situation as well. I still, Ryan O'Halloran brought it up yesterday. He's been pounding that go running back in the second round, and there may be value there. You may get good value in the third round at running back. He says, man, they've got so many needs. And if you've got big guys, I'd rather have a guy that I projected to be a long-term starter on the offensive line than a running back with that pick, because I think you can go to free agency this year and get Mark Ingram if you wanted to. He's not going to cost, you know, some exorbitant amount. Running backs, I don't know if you saw the stats yesterday on ESPN. Running backs took up like 5% of team salary caps this year. It's the lowest in NFL history. And it's just continuing to shrink. Now, you'll see a couple of guys likely go in the mid to late first or early second in Gordon and Gurley. Potentially, both of those guys could be first rounders, but you haven't seen much of that in recent years. One more from Mike Mayock. Dan asked him, just after a year of getting to eyeball him, what does he think of Blake Bortles?
I'd be cautiously optimistic. I watched, I don't know, 3 or 4 games of his tape towards the end of last season. I think I saw some things I liked, especially with some of the pocket awareness, some of his ability to find second and third receivers as the season progressed. You know, we knew he was a big, strong guy with a good arm, but I think he's progressing. And I think you've got to, you know, you mentioned earlier, statistically, the Jags were horrible last year. So you've got to protect this kid and build around this kid. And I think one of the positions we didn't talk about was the fortification of the offensive line. And I think that's critical.
Obviously, all this is going to be impacted by what happens in 26 days and beyond. So, hopefully they'll have some fortification done and they can truly go into the NFL draft selecting the best player that they think is out there, because they could use a lot of that type of guy right now.
I think at 3, that's what they're going to do. Like, once we get to the second round, I think a lot of it's going to be determined by what does happen in free agency starting in 26 days. But that first round, that number 3 pick overall, I think they're going to take the guy they evaluate to be the best player in this draft.
Right, and
because I don't think the quarterbacks are there. Honestly, my personal opinion.
So you think Leonard Williams will be there?
No, what I'm saying is, if I was evaluating this, just taking the players that are available in this draft, that I don't think the quarterbacks would be in my top 3 players available in this draft.
Oh, I see. I think Winston could very well end up
maybe
being one of your top 3 guys out there, but I don't think it's going to be a point of contention for the Jags. I think he's gone. By the way, this one's not going to win in terms of Friday top 5, but really, because 5 is not enough to list them all, at David J 282002. That's a long one, but he wanted to go with the top 5 reasons that Scarlett Johansson is out of my league. 5? What do you mean 5? Every reason. Name one reason why she wouldn't be out of my league, and I will start to build my mental picture of myself around that for the next decade. I don't think, and they're all out of my league, Tony. That's why they're celebrity crushes.
Right.
Never to be fulfilled. As far as that goes. So we'll come back and somebody will get a $50 gift certificate to Peterbrook Chocolatier for, the Valentine's holiday coming up, and, as well as get your fan feedback on the question of the day, which was, is it better for the Jags if the quarterbacks go 1 and 2, leaving them with their pick of any other position player in the draft, or would it be better for one of the top 2 quarterbacks to be available at number 3 and maybe your top choice is gone, but it creates a more robust trade market for that pick? You can answer that however you like, and we'll take a look at some of those responses coming back on Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, Tyler Devitt's been burying the lead.
That is bizarre.
Today. It's an expression called burying the lead, when you skip right over the good stuff, talk about all this other stuff, and then like at the end, you're like, oh yeah, by the way. Oh, by the way, what happened with Scarlett Johansson, Devitt?
So about 5 or 6 years ago, I was with my dad at the Palms in Vegas.
You were how old at this time?
I was probably about 15, 16 years old.
You're so young. All right.
And I go to grab a candy bar from the concession stand outside the pool, and I recognize this really super hot chick, and I'm like, I think that may be Scarlett Johansson, and I don't want to go ask her and, you know, and not be her, so I see her sign her name. She signs it Scarlett Johansson, and I'm just like jaw dropping. Wow, I can't believe this is her. Very nice. She took a picture with me, and
Yeah,
I didn't get an autograph, but
do we have photographic evidence?
I don't. I don't know what happened to the picture. I really don't. And it sounds like I'm making up this story, but I'm really not.
Remember that time, Tony, that Halle Berry came and flashed me, and I got all those great pictures, and I lost them.
I'll never forget it though. It's a true story.
My goodness. Does she live up to the tabloid Hollywood image of her?
She did not disappoint. Scarlett Johansson in a bikini, trust me, it does not.
I'd like to think it wouldn't disappoint, but I mean, everything is so airbrushed nowadays.
Oh, she looked good. Trust
me. And CGI tightened up and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear that. I kind of would like to see the photos, but at the same time, I don't want to see you in a photo with Scarlett Johansson.
No.
So, there are plenty of photos of Scarlett Johansson out there.
If only I still had it. If only.
Let's get to the top five today, Tony. Not the top five.
So on your
brain,
mind.
My brain is now scrambled. Let's get to the fan feedback spotlight brought to you by the Tom Bush family of automobile dealerships featuring Tom Bush Volkswagen, Tom Bush Mazda, Tom Bush BMW, and Tom Bush Mini. You can visit TomBush.com for more information the next time you're in the market for a new or pre-owned vehicle and follow them on Twitter at Tom Bush Motors. Today we asked you, would it be better for the Jags in a draft scenario, all you draft Knicks out there, for the quarterbacks to go 1-2, and when I say the quarterbacks, Winston, Mariota, whatever order, they're both gone, Jags have the pick of Leonard Williams, Randy Gregory, whoever they want, or would it be better for one of the QBs to go and have one of them available for the Jags to create a potential trade market for the number three pick? What kind of response do we get on that?
Here's what we got from Mike. If one of them falls to number three, give us all of the draft picks. From Irish Jaguar, if the Titans pass on the remaining QB, I don't think any other team is going to trade up for him. From Eric, always a trade back guy. It's all about value, and a QB dangling at three is value to trade back. From Brock, better off with both QBs going. No reason to worry about trading picks. Just stay at three and get a defensive beast. From Michael, if Mariota falls to three, watch out for the Browns with the 12th and 19th picks moving up. From Black Dog Express, he says, I agree with Hicken. Sticking and picking.
Sticking and picking with Hicken.
We need superstars, not trading back for just good players. From Kevin, if one of the QBs falls, the Jags will be better off. Best chance for multiple teams to bid and raise the trade value. And from Nick, QBs go 1 and 2 is best for the Jaguars. Then you get your pick between Williams and Gregory Williams, in my opinion.
Did you ever do sticking or kicking when you played backyard football? That was always what we'd ask on fourth down. You stick it, in other words, you're going for it. Or are you punting? Whoever punted in backyard football, yet we asked it every single time.
Sticking or kicking?
Sticking or kicking? Yeah, yeah. We're sticking. Yeah, we're not kicking. Yes,
what do you think we're doing?
Yes, we're on our own 1 yard line.
We're going to punt the ball?
We used to play two completions got you a first down. Mm-hmm. Is how we did it. I don't know if we needed, sometimes two consecutive, but two completions was a first down.
Played a bunch of different rules, but two completions. I play like four hard to midfield like you do in flag football a lot of the time sometimes.
So midfield, you got a first down when you cross midfield.
Yeah, and you had four plays to get there. Sometimes we played just four hard.
Where
you had to get the whole field.
Got the whole thing.
And,
it'd be sticking on
in four
fourth.
Plays. But those were the games where we'd actually like have a real kickoff.
And
you'd have the chance to return it instead of just like...
Yeah, we never did the kickoff
thing. The ball at your goal line.
Maybe we didn't have somebody good enough to kick it. That might have been part of the issue.
I punted the ball okay.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I couldn't punt anything now, man.
Okay. I mean, when you were out there playing in the backyard, it's not like you had all kinds of space. I mean, you're probably talking about at most we were playing, 50 yards, maybe?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Something like that.
So I could punt it, 40, 45.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. All right.
Always sticking. Who's kicking?
Always sticking. Nobody's kicking. But it was fun to ask, nonetheless.
You just throw it up.
Today we asked you as well, give us a Friday Top 5 theme, and we may or may not use it, but I'm going to award the $50 Peterbrook gift certificate, which, by the way, you can go to 1010XL.com for more great Valentine's gift ideas, but the $50 gift certificate to Peterbrook to Josh Fordham. J_40_904. He went with Valentine disasters for Friday, which is not necessarily a top five. I would hope you don't have
five
Valentine disasters, but I liked his hashtags. He started with hashtag I need Peterbrook in my life, and he followed up with I need Peterbrook in or around my mouth. Hey, to each your own, Josh. So I almost called him Todd Fordham. That would be awesome. Todd Fordham had tweeted us his Friday top five. We were talking about maybe scariest celebrities for a Friday the 13th edition. And it doesn't have to be. It's just like celebrities who would maybe make you uncomfortable, mm-hmm. right? You can go any direction with that. So tentatively, I think that's what we'll stay with for tomorrow, the first Friday top five in a while.
We could do celebrities. Do you like doing, like, five scariest characters, like, outside of a horror movie?
Outside of a horror movie?
Yeah.
No, I don't.
Okay.
I don't know.
I'm just
asking.
It
seems like it'd be a lot of work on my part to have to come up
because,
with five.
Because, you know, no one wants to look in their backseat and see Freddy Krueger. Like,
that's a horror movie, though.
Yeah, that would be number one. Freddy Krueger would be number one.
Well, wait a minute. You just said outside
that's
of a horror
movie.
That's
what I'm saying. That's why I'm saying outside of a horror movie, because that makes it too easy.
Right. Because, right. So Freddy Krueger wouldn't be eligible for
right.
that, then.
That's what I'm saying.
I gotcha. Okay.
I don't want Freddy and Jason and those guys thrown in there. I don't want Mike Myers thrown in there.
Right,
I want you to have to think.
Right, because we all know they're out to mass murder us.
That's right.
In some form
that's or, all they do.
Or way.
They just slash.
So we got some interesting ones in there. Top five celebrities you don't want to be on a deserted island with. Not bad. From at Jags underscore Dad.
That's kind of the idea, isn't it?
That's kind of the idea.
Yeah.
That what we were talking about, you know, with... top five ingredients for your favorite homemade sandwich, burger, or slider, starting with bread type. Hashtag stay hungry. Way to go, Mike. kayak fish there. We got several in there. I feel like we should invite Brent Martineau back to join us.
Oh, I know.
Used to do this, but he won't be able to come up with five celebrities.
No, he won't come up with five celebrities
If you cut out country music singers, I don't know if he can name five celebrities.
The songs were always interesting, too.
Holy smokes, man. But we should have him back at some point. Maybe we'll have him do a call-in.
We've tried.
On one.
We invite him.
We have invited him. He was going to join us. Well, he joined us a little bit out in Phoenix.
I did an hour with him one time when you were gone.
It's awesome.
Does that count?
Sure.
It's not the gang getting back together.
I know. We wanted the gang back together. It was fun like that. All right. It's going to just about do it. I'm going to head. You know what I'm doing? I'm going over to Golf Tech today. It's been about 8 years I've had the clubs, right? Been missing the.
Trying some new sticks.
I think I'm going to get fitted today. And, I mean, I've been eyeing. You know, I think I'm going to keep my 3-wood and my 5-wood. My driver, I'm so far behind in technology with the driver. The driver's like 320cc TaylorMade. It's a nice club.
Yeah, I don't even have a driver.
I bought it for $20 at a yard sale once when it was probably just like a year old. And, you know, it served me pretty well. But, man, I mean, I watch people that I know I'm longer than get out there and they tink with that, you know, titanium wafer thin face, and it's just adding 40 yards to everybody. So
yeah, you've seen that anvil I drive with.
Yes,
I have a heavy, heavy club.
My favorite, Mark Watson, hardball creative, good friend of ours, great golf buddy over the years mm-hmm. as well. I tell a story to everybody who plays with us because Mark and I don't know, we played 60 rounds of golf together over the years, something like that. Who knows? Maybe more. And he hits it a mile.
He
finally got some technology, and he actually starts hitting them straight a little bit more frequently. Not all the time, but when he catches it, he'll hit it 330.
I mean,
he will crush it 330. He swings from his heels. But he used to play with this little club that had about the size head of my 5-wood, right? A tiny little thing, old, you know, steel shaft driver.
Mm-hmm.
And the best thing about it was an actual driver. And it was so tiny, and on the bottom it said oversized on it. That's how old it was, and it was phenomenal, and he used it for years. And he couldn't, you know, keep the thing on the short grass, but now technology has helped him straighten it out. So I'm looking for a little boost in the technology department, so I'm going over to see my friends at Golf Tech this afternoon. They don't know I'm coming. I'm popping in on them right there on Southside Boulevard. Going to get the – I hate, Tony, to have my swing on video. Because I know it's awful. It's a unique swing. You would not teach it. Much like Jim Furyk's swing. You would not teach that to someone else.
Well, he's making bank, baby,
yes,
off that
I'm
bad
not.
Swing.
Are you, Tyler?
Are you making sure to activate your glutes?
Oh, I try to activate my glutes first thing in the morning.
Yeah, activate
every morning.
The glutes.
That's not a question. And I, unlike Tiger, will not stay away from the course until my game is tournament ready. Okay? That's been pretty much, otherwise I would have yet to start playing golf. Right? Cause it's never gonna be tournament ready. It's never been tournament ready. All I'm looking for is a couple of strokes here and there, to save and maybe a little extra distance and all that good stuff with my baseball swing. that I bring to the table. All right, thanks to the guys on the drill for getting us some good content with Mike Mayock this morning. Hope you enjoyed listening in to his thoughts and the conversation that will continue now. 26 days away from free agency. Mm-hmm. Friday, top five tomorrow, tentatively going in the direction of five scariest celebrities. You can define that however you like. Celebrity, you can define. Scary, you can define. And we'll kind of turn that into the Friday fan feedback spotlight for you tomorrow. So we'll do that tomorrow. Combine coming up next week. Plenty of people. Will the Road Scout be there? I don't know if the Road Scout's going to the Combine.
I'm not sure if they're sending somebody or not.
I don't know. I would assume the Road Scout is going to the Combine, but we'll have to check in with him on that. I know Ozier and O'Halloran will be out there checking in with us.
Yeah.
Live from the Combine next week. All right, that'll wrap it up for us today. Hope you enjoyed playing along out there in Radio Land. Thanks to all of our great sponsors, as always, for Tyler Devitt and Joe Fortunato. For Fat Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey. Stick around, because XL Primetime coming up next on 1010XL 92.5 FM.